Welcome to The Grow Show, where we speak with leading business experts to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. Now, here's your host, Gary Jones.
We are live. It says we're live. So how are you all doing? Welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. And thank you very much if you're watching live. But also thank you very much if you're watching on the replay or listening to it on podcast. Today's guest is the fantastic Vicky Head. And we're going to be talking about photography. We're going to be talking about the rollout and the importance of your visual brand. And why, actually, do you know what? It's so important in creating your reputation, your credibility, and so much more. Plus, we'll hear a little bit about her journey and some of the lessons that she's learned along the way. If that's okay with Vicky. Vicky, welcome to The Grow Show. How are you getting on?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me here today. It's great to be with you.
I think we've been trying to organise this interview for, good 6 months or so.
Something like that. Yeah.
But thank you very much. For the people who don't know who Vicky is, can you just let us know in a kind of a 30 or 40 second kind of pitch?
Sure. I am Vicky from Vicky Head Photography. So primarily, I'm a commercial and branding photographer, but I cover all kinds of photography and I teach photography as well, whether that's to college or degree students or just to people who've got a camera and want to be able to take better photographs of their children or their holidays. I'm really passionate about the power of photography, whether it's your favorite treasured photographs of loved ones that you have on your mantelpiece, or how you use it in your business to engage with people, for marketing and to just get you more clients, make you more money. It's a really powerful tool. And I think it's very creative, very bespoke, and I'm passionate about helping people get more from the images that they use. So that's pretty much what I do.
Love it. So if you're watching live and you've got any questions about photography, about taking pictures, about, you know, the importance, anything like that, let's put them into our chat and let's throw them to Vicky. Vicky doesn't know what's going to come up, so let's kind of see how it all goes. And just while we're kind of waiting for any questions to come in, have you always been interested in photography, or did it kind of just suddenly come up as a kind of an opportunity? You go, I'll take that, I'll try that.
Yeah, so you hear about people, don't you, sometimes, and they say, oh, I got my first box brownie when I was six. That's not me. No, I had a long time caring for my children. I have a daughter who I look after as well and can continue to care for. And I suppose my passion for a lot of years was theatre, and I did a lot of theatre, a lot of plays, acting, directing, things like that. And I got to the stage when my children were old enough that I was going to be able to do something. I looked to do a degree. And initially I was looking at drama and theatre because that's what I knew. And then I thought, no, let's do something different. I've always been quite a visual person, quite a creative person. And I thought, let's try photography. And at the point I decided to do a photography degree, I didn't know an f-stop from my elbow. I didn't know anything about photography other than I quite enjoyed compositionally creating images. So I sort of signed up for it, and then I learned how to use a camera. And I started my business at a similar sort of time as I started my degree. I started assisting a photographer, and I learned so much through that as well. And it all kind of happened all at the same time. So now I'm not the person that's always been into it at all.
Were you looking at different degrees, as in you weren't too sure, you know, what degree to go for, or did you actually kind of hunt down the photography route at the time?
So I'd like initially when I thought about doing a degree, I thought about sort of some sort of theatre based or drama degree. And then I felt like I've been doing this for 30 years. Let's try something really new. And at that point I had a bridge camera and I enjoyed taking photographs. I didn't really know much about the technicalities of how to do it. But I really enjoyed, I'm a very visual person, and I really enjoyed kind of creating images, creating compositions. And I think they're just such a powerful thing. It was something that intrigued me, and I love learning, really. I'm definitely the person that every day is a school day, you know, and I like to learn new things. So I thought, yeah, it's new, let's try this. And really kind of fell in love with it. photography is one of those things. I've got a lot of sort of photographer friends, but it's one of those things that takes over your life. You know, mm-hmm. you become quite nerdy and boring to other people. And you wind up chatting to other photographers about, you know, lenses and things. It's all very dull, I'm sure, to most people. But I love the results that you can get.
I know that's an amazing results that you can get and the skills along the way that you can learn. I say, when I'm talking to people about podcasting, which I'm talking to a hell of a lot of people about at the moment, I'm talking to them about kind of the idea and the equipment side of it is kind of secondary to the actual kind of the idea for a podcast, because you can have all the best equipment and then they'll just be sitting on the shelf collecting the same kind of cheap stuff compared if you buy expensive stuff. But is that the same with photography, or is it the opposite? And actually really, really good equipment can really make a massive, massive difference to the quality of the photos.
So the phrase "all the gear and no idea" definitely is something that is bandied around within photography. You can have amazing kit, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have a good eye. I think there's a mixture. Equally, you know, there's an older sort of expression about the best camera is the one you have with you. I regularly also take pictures on my phone, and I've won awards for pictures I've taken on my phone. So it's you don't necessarily have to have amazing kit. Now, as a pro photographer, having great kit, of course, that makes a difference. It makes a difference to the quality of images that you're going to get, because there just is. You're going to be able to get sort of bigger files, more detail, but it is an element of you need to know how to use it to get the best from it. You can have the same – and it makes me laugh. I often – you can be maybe photographing an event or a wedding where you've got people and somebody might see an image on the back of camera – or see a photograph of yours and say, oh, wow, you know, you must have a great camera. And I think, well, would you go to a restaurant and say to the chef, you must have got, what oven do you have? You must have a great oven, because that's, you know, that food was delicious. Of course, the skills of the photographer are one of the biggest parts in the image that you get. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right, my boss.
That's it. And he literally put that a minute or so before he said it. And it is so, so true. I've worked with photographers in the past in different events and creating kind of content for different companies. And they can take that fantastic picture with whatever camera they've got, because as you said, they've got the eye, they've got the skills that they can see what's the right angle to do that, what's the right lights. And if I move it slightly, I'm going to get a much better kind of picture. It's so true about it. And taking that around, you must have an amazing camera.
There's so many other things like soft skills. So most people don't really enjoy having the photograph taken. Most of us, myself included, you feel a bit vulnerable when you've got a camera in front of you. You suddenly forget how to smile. You don't know what to do with your arms. You know, you feel really uncomfortable. And so a big part of what I do is about making people feel relaxed and comfortable in order to be able to get the best of them and really showcase them. You want to see kind of natural smiles, not some sort of grimace, with a rabbit in the headlight eyes going on. Yeah. I need them. So a lot of it is about making people feel relaxed and at ease. Trust is a huge part with photography, because the person you're photographing may not, as a photographer, you may have the vision in your head of what you're trying to create, but that person you photograph may not have that. They may not understand what you're trying to do. So trust is a huge element.
Yeah, no, I completely get that. And I'm not a fan of having my pictures taken. I don't like it. No. I never really have. And people say, oh, you must feel really comfortable because you do loads of videos. It's like, no, not at all. You know, this is, I'm having a conversation with you and I'm focusing on you. And I've got my phone. That's what I'm going to do in this StreamYard kind of live on. Yeah. I haven't got someone in front of me, probably 2 or 3 foot away, taking my picture. That's completely different. That is completely different circumstances. So I do get why people are hesitant for it. From a business point of view and from a kind of a marketing asset point of view, I know you did a fantastic podcast with Stacey Calder for her Business Success podcast, so I don't want to kind of rehash all of that, but why is it important to have really good imagery for your business?
It's huge. It's like so important. And you know, I'm like yourself, I don't really like having my photograph taken, but what I get is that it's something I have to suck up. I just have to do it because of the difference it can make. So, you know, the podcast I did with Stacey, we were talking about obviously her Business Success magazine and the shoot that I'd done previously for Nathan McQueen. I think Nathan had something like 3,000 new followers within 3 weeks on LinkedIn after changing his headshot. I've had clients who I've done just very, very simple headshots, not even anything very creative. And they've had more engagement from independent directories in 1 month than they've had in 16 years. So even something as a very simple headshot can make a massive difference. Now, the important thing to remember is every single photograph, every single image that you have on your website, on your social media, is giving a message about you. And the thing that you need to do is make sure that the message is a positive one. Now, the part of my degree was looking very much into advertising and marketing photography, why it works, how you, all the semiotics, how you create these positive subconscious messages within images. And so by giving just positive messages, it gives people a green light to engage with you. They want the kind of, they have that hook of wanting to find out more, wanting to jump on your website. And it's exactly the same as when you meet people and you either have a real sense of connection with them, even if you don't know them very well yet, or you maybe think, oh, I don't know, I'm not too sure about this, kind of don't know why, call it a gut instinct. That is the whole subconscious thing that you're generating in images. You don't even need to speak the same language as the people that are looking at your images. They could speak a completely different language. A lot of the visual messages are universal. So in less than a second, you give a message about your business. The danger with not taking photography seriously is that you could be giving negative messages that repel people. So not only might you not be attracting them, you could actually be giving them that red light that makes them think, do you know what? I'm not sure about this. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Very interesting. And as a kind of a proportion of your, when you're looking on LinkedIn or kind of social media in general, what kind of percentage of people do you reckon have got it right in terms of the images compared to not?
More people haven't. More people haven't than have, I would say, very definitely. And one of the ways I've noticed that is with networking, for instance. And, you know, quite often when you're running a network group, you might have got people coming in to do the foresight or do give the talk. You ask that, you might say, have you got a headshot? You know, especially back in the face-to-face days, you'd say, have you got a headshot so I can promote it? And really, very, very, very few people had actually had a headshot that's usable. Now, I would suggest to everybody that ideally you should have on your desktop of your computer, you should have a folder with some, a selection really of images that are ready to go. So if you get the opportunity to have some editorial in a magazine or be featured in the local newspaper, you've, and they say, have you got an image? You've got one there ready to send straight away. You haven't got time then to sort of get your hair done, lose half a stone and arrange a shoot. You know, you need to have it ready to go because they probably go to print at 4 o'clock or something. And it's about, you know, keeping the message that you're giving with your images, whether it's of you, of your things you do within your business, your products, your services, you know, your lifestyle. If you're showing people who you are, it's having a really cohesive message, a consistent message. So it doesn't start ringing alarm bells. People get a sense of engaging with you, connecting with you, a sense of who you are. Because, you know, we all know that people buy from people. Yeah. So, you know, it's about being able to engage with people in that way. So having images, huge assets, but you may need to portray different things. You may need to show your more of your relaxed, fun side on your Instagram, and perhaps your LinkedIn will look a bit more professional and serious. You know, you may need to have something that shows behind the scenes or what you do on your weekends, you know, and how you, you know, walk your dog or whatever you do, that, you know, the hobbies that you're interested in, perhaps. People like to, are curious. I think people are always curious. They're curious to know who it is behind the business and more about what they like and enjoy. And images is just such a perfect way of grabbing attention, you know, explaining, educating, you know, this such powerful thing. And I have one of my hashtags I use a lot is stop the scroll. If you've got something that's like a powerful hero image, you can really get people to stop in their tracks, stop scrolling on the phone, and actually it piques their interest and their curiosity a little bit.
Oh, so much good stuff. So much good stuff. I can remember when going back to kind of the kind of social media headshot kind of profile pictures. Years ago now, I had a photo taken, and I pretty much use it. And I literally used, I don't know why, I just did a double thumbs up in the picture.
Yeah.
And I can't remember why, but I did. It felt natural, and I came across. Then suddenly, everyone said, "That's great." So that became my kind of profile. And then I was printing my business cards. And now if I'm in a Zoom meeting, that's the, when I'm not on screen, that's my picture on there. And people just know me like this. And it's such a simple thing. But it goes back to your point about showing your personality. And that, you know, luckily suits most different platforms in terms of the message that I want to convey. However, if I was going for a corporate position, or if I wanted to be a little bit more kind of professional rather than having an open kind of open collar shirt with double thumbs up, I would kind of do a different headshot for that. So I think you're dead right. It's massively important. Massively important.
Yeah.
Especially bridging that gap.
Yeah, it's very positive, isn't it? Like, kind of whole thumbs up thing is a very positive message. It's, you know, and I think when people can see if you've been caught with a sort of really natural smile, you know, you look natural and relaxed, that again is very easy for people to engage with that. But if it, like you say, if you were going to go to as a speaker at a corporate event, then you might think, do you know what? I want them to take me a bit more seriously as an expert. And you can use how you look in images to position yourself, you know, as an expert, for instance, in your field.
Love it. Now, if you've got any questions, if you're watching live, please put them in the comments below. And actually, if you listen to this anyway, or watching it back, and you've got comments or, you know, questions, still put them into the chat, because then we'll kind of catch up with them afterwards. I just want to go back a few years to after you've done the degree. So you've got all this knowledge. I'm guessing you weren't working as a photographer at that time, or I could be wrong.
I started my degree, I kind of started working part time.
Okay.
I started assisting a photographer, and I learned so much from him as well. And I did he would teach photographers and run workshops, and we traveled around and arranged workshops kind of across the UK and in Paris as well. And there was sort of, you know, some really valuable things that I learned from him about photography in general, and, you know, all of that. And I think it's really interesting, the passions that drive people. You know, I teach photography, and I teach college and degree students who are sort of probably aspiring to be photographers, or have, you know, use photography in a work basis. But I also teach people who just are fascinated by it and want to be able to use it more. And quite often you'll have people who have quite a nice camera that's got great functionality, but they don't really know how to use it out of auto. And it's one of those things that you take it out of auto because you want to have a bit more control, and you don't get the results you want. So it's immediately like, let's go back into the comfort zone of having it in auto. So I teach people of all ages, some from tutoring people who are studying at school, right through to people who are retired and, you know, are sort of maybe kind of bought themselves a new camera as a kind of retirement present or something, and are wanting to get involved a bit more with that. And it's one of those things, photography, that you're always learning, you're always fine tuning things, improving things, learning things. I don't think there's ever an end point. And so whatever stage you're at, there's always new things to kind of learn about it.
Nice. Now, you used the phrase, a good camera. What would you classify as a good camera? Just for the people who have no idea, because I certainly don't know what a good camera is. Is that £200? Is that £1,000? What is a good camera?
It's horses for courses. It depends what you're going to do with it, where you're going to take it, what your budget is. It's really, really variable. So I have, you know, full frame pro cameras that I use for, you know, shoots. And at event, the first time I met you, you know, at Now What Live, I think probably that day, I'd got something like, I don't know, £15,000 to £20,000 worth of kit with me that day, with various cameras and lenses and things that I'd got with me. So that was fine. But I also have a little point and shoot that there's times when I'm, say, if I'm away, I don't want to be carrying a big, heavy camera around with me, or if, say, I was at a festival and I can stretch it. I know how I can get the most out of it, even though it's only like a really basic point and shoot. And I've got some pictures that I'm pretty pleased with from it. But it's easy. It fits in my pocket. It's lightweight. I'm not worried if it got stolen, you know. So it's really about where you're going to use it, you know, and the practicalities of it. What do you need from it? Because it's, you know, even on your phones these days, phone cameras are amazing. You know, you can get amazing pictures from them, but it's about getting the best from it. And there's no point having a massive, big, heavy piece of, you know, camera equipment if you're never going to take it out because you don't want to lug it around with you. Something that actually fits in your pocket is much more portable, could be of more use to you.
Makes sense. It makes sense. And I suppose that doesn't really make it easier for people looking to buy a camera, does it?
I think so. With I have that
because it is about knowing what it is.
I have this asked of me, you know, quite a lot. People contact me and say, I'm looking to buy a camera. What do you recommend? And there isn't a one size fits all. There's some, you know, there's certain camera. It's first of all, I would say, what's your budget? How much do you want to spend? Because, you know, there's probably cameras to suit, you know, most things. And what do you want to do with it? Now, if you've got maybe a bridge camera or something like a point and shoot, you've just, it's your one piece of kit. If you start to go for something like a DSLR, you're going to start looking at lenses. So it's not just the cost of the camera then. You've got to factor in the fact that you might want different lenses for that. They can get expensive as well. And you're investing not just the money in it, but more time in terms of thinking about how am I going to use this and use the skills. Are you going to know how to actually use it out of auto? Otherwise, do you need to buy that amount of functionality? You know, so it very much is what you want it for. How are you going to use it? Do you want something that you can have with you all the time, really easily, that you can do something with? Or do you want to actually invest time where you learn a bit more about it and use it in a more kind of proactive way?
Love it. And this is why I want to get you on the show, because I could have asked that question to a lot of people and they would have said, yeah, you spend this amount for that. And actually what you're saying is kind of the complete opposite, which I love it. And that it basically echoes what I talk about most days with podcasting, I said at the start. So it's really cool. If you don't mind, is there some kind of simple tips or simple hints that we can do as an average user to get the best photos possible with the equipment that we might have? So it might be a phone, or it might be a point and kind of, did you say a point and shoot? That's the
Is
what kind of tips have you got for us to kind of start using straight away?
Okay, so the first thing to think about always is light. How you know, whatever you photograph, how is it being lit? Where's the light coming from? And I finally got my hair cut a couple of weeks ago, and I was really happy about that because it was the first haircut I'd had in over a year. And while I was in there, the hairdresser had done somebody else's, you know, the other hairdresser had done somebody else's hair, and she's like, I want to get a picture of this. And she immediately positioned the person with her back to the window and was going to take a picture. And then she was looking at me out the corner of her eye saying, oh, what shall I, am I doing this right? What shall I do? And I said, just turn around. So she's got the light coming on her from the window. You know, you're going to be in silhouette. So first of all, think about where's the light coming from and what's that doing in terms of light on the person or on the thing or and the shadow. You might use light creatively, you know, you might deliberately want to have light in a certain position for some creative effect. But I see it a lot. And you see it even on, you know, over the last year when we've been doing Zoom calls and people are kind of really dark and you can't see their faces because they're, you know, they're in a really dark room. We like to be able to properly see what we're looking at. If you want people to engage with you, they need to be able to see you properly. So photography is all about light, how you balance light. Think about where your light sources are and how you're using those. Think about one of the things I would say when I'm teaching people. People have a tendency, just if you say, right, I was going to take a picture of somebody, just say, just to literally to lift a camera and as if and you're going to, you know, press the button and take a shot. Think about, is it the best angle? You know, what happens if you took a step to the right or the left? What happens if you went down a bit low or up a little bit higher? How would that change the picture? So start to think about, is there a better shot? And there often is. And if you're taking pictures of people, think about what's behind them. Have they got a telegraph pole coming out the top of the head? You know, you've got like a nice flowery earring with those flowers sort of there, just sort of the other side. Yeah. Just kind of,
yeah.
You know, think about what's behind you, because that's also going to potentially, you know, might look a bit peculiar, or it might give a message. You know, the things that are going on in the scene might give a message. So think about what's going on in the background.
I want a pink flowery earring, which is why I've got it in the background. That's you've got it nailed. That's exactly what I want to portray. But you're so right. Yeah, exactly. You've seen right through me. But it's so true. All of the stuff that you can see here and you can see on your screen, especially over the last year, we can control. We can control. So we can do that. And I suppose what you don't see, and when it comes to photos, and it's probably the same with social media as well, you don't see the thousands of photos that haven't made it on social media. You just see the kind of the best ones, or the ones that have been worked on the most amount. You don't see the ones that you've kind of done beforehand that leads you up to that cracking picture.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I've done work in the past with, we've done workshops with school children, for instance, where we've talked to them about photo manipulation, how images in magazines, for instance, might be photoshopped and airbrushed, as people think of it, and changed, because, you know, it's easy for all of us, isn't it, to look at other people's images and think, oh my goodness, their life looks so good, they're completely in control, everything's perfect. Of course, it's not the reality, whether it's because something's been changed, or it's been, you know, photoshopped, or it's got a filter on it, or whether it's because it's the 20th picture they took and the rest of them, you know. We're only seeing the best often of what people want to put out. But I suppose as a business owner, what you have to bear in mind is if everybody else is putting out their best, it's kind of important that you are too, you know. Yeah. And that doesn't mean to say that it's not real or it's fake in any way. But, you know, it's there's a lot of people who are going to make an effort with the images that they put across, you know, across all fields of work. And that isn't necessarily just of yourself. That could be it could be images that help educate people about what you're doing. It could be images that help explain what, you know, how a service or a product might look. So if you're selling a product, for instance, you want your product to look really good. Now, sometimes you might think, well, I can just take a picture of that on my phone. It's fine. One picture's as good as another. It's not really, because sometimes really small differences can make a massive difference in terms of how people feel about things. So it's something that's worth investing in. If it's going to massively increase your sales, increase your client engagement, it's something to take very seriously. Advertising, imagery, you know, stills, photography, and, you know, video, for the big businesses is huge. They spend a lot of money on it. And the reason they spend a lot of money on it is because it makes them a lot of money. They're not necessarily going to deficit over this. They are making a lot of money from it. I'm not necessarily suggesting you have to spend loads of money on it, but you should definitely take it seriously. It's not one of the things, it should be high on your priority list of things that you need to do, because, like I say, every image is giving out a message. You need to make sure that message is a really positive one.
Brilliant. So leading on to that, I'm a small business owner. I've got a business and I'm looking to improve my photography and my imagery. What's the steps that I can do to kind of today to make a difference? And not just me learning how to do it, but how can I get you involved or someone else involved to help me with that?
Have a conversation. So one of the things that I offer to people is what I call an image MOT. And that isn't necessarily about me coming to do a shoot with people, but that's a case of actually looking at your websites and your social media, looking at the images that you're using. There are a lot of really affordable stock images, and that may be something that's used. There's advantages and disadvantages. A lot of those can be free or quite cheap. However, what I would say is they're also not necessarily bespoke to you or your business. And the important thing to think about with that is, are they cohesive? So if you've got a lot of different images from a lot of different places, it's going to look a bit like a jumble sale. You know, you're not going to have a really consistent look across it. And that's something that's important to bear in mind. So on an image MOT, I talk to business owners and we look at the website, we look at the socials, and we look at where the gaps are. We look at what images could they, you know, might they want to put on their shopping list to either source whether that's with a photographer and a shoot, or whether that's something they could actually, you know, buy in as a, you know, a kind of, you know, more general kind of image. And we think about the messages that the images have got are giving. Is it a positive message? Could there be a better image that would give a more positive image? So in the first instance, I would say talk, you know, talk to me or talk to a pro photographer. The thing that saddens me a little bit about photography is you don't have to be Corgi registered. So, you know, obviously I've sort of spent some time learning my craft, learning about, you know, literally how things like advertising, marketing, photography works. But you could pick up a camera and call yourself a photographer. And it's really hard for people when they're looking for a photographer, whether it's for a shoot or for advice, to know who to go to, because you don't have to. You don't, you know, like I, you know, you have, as a photographer, pro photographer, I have insurance and, you know, there's all different things, you know, as well as the qualifications. But you don't, you know, you could go to a photographer. How do you discern whether you're getting good advice or not? That can be a little bit difficult, you know, difficult sometimes to know for people. So, but I would say, first of all, have a conversation. Have a conversation and find out. There may not be much that you need to do. You may be really on the right lines, or it may be small tweaks. It doesn't necessarily mean that. Don't be afraid to speak, thinking, oh my goodness, if I have a conversation, it's going to cost me thousands in a shoot. Wouldn't necessarily be much to do, but it's a good starting point to know what would be the areas to tackle next. Where are the gaps? Where are you missing things that could be useful for you?
Love it. Love it. And so how much does that image cost? Just as a blatant sales plug for you.
£95. So it's not a big investment in money, but it can be a really useful way to
have a key. Hey, £95. Great stuff. Great stuff. I can imagine that being, yeah, that well, in theory, that could change the whole type of perception of that business on that particular platform. That is huge. It is absolutely huge, the impact it can do.
Yeah.
Then the next point is really kind of photo shoots. Now, if I wanted to kind of get a professional set of photos in loads of different locations, potentially, or different caves and all that kind of stuff, how easy is it that to organize?
So the first thing before that would be, again, a conversation. So I think people often think if they're going to book a photographer, they would just say, I want some photos. How much does it cost? And can you book me in then? But it actually, I don't work like that. You know, I don't just rock up with a camera and say, here you go. Because the first thing I want to know is I want to actually talk to you. I want to know more about you, who you are as a person, what your business is about, who you're trying to talk to with your business, who are your clients that you're trying to actually give a message to. And from that, we would make a plan for what's needed. We might look at actually, what do you need for your website? How do you need to use these images? Because I could give you a whole load of images, but they may not be the ones that you need, you know? So we would have that conversation, first of all, to work out what's needed. From there, we can look at where we might do that. Where would be the best place in terms of location? I also talk to people about like clothes and what might be what, you know, would be good to wear in order to have give across certain messages. And so a shoot may involve, you know, some different changes of clothes. It could be in different locations. So again, it would be something we'd plan. So again, it's a little bit like how long's a piece of string. So, you know, I could meet somebody and just do some quick, you know, back in the face-to-face world, I used to do sometimes little mini things where I'd do headshots for people after 4N meetings, you know. But that's not really bespoke. If I'm working with a commercial client to actually create things for their business, very much about finding out about who they are, who their client, you know, wants to be, and then working out something that's very tailored to you and your business, to really get across the right messages about that.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. We've been talking for 34 minutes, which has been just, it's been fantastic. It's flown by. I could talk to you for a lot longer, but for the people who want to find out more information. They want to connect with you on social media. They want to see you at online meetings and all that kind of stuff. Where can they find you? Where can they get more info about you?
You can find me at Facebook page, LinkedIn, my Instagram, my website. I can leave details in the chat if anybody wants to connect with me. But yeah, Vicky Head Photo usually, or Vicky Head Photography normally, will find me across the socials.
Ace. And the last question I ask everybody who comes onto the show, and I haven't prepared you for this, so we'll see what your answer is. but it's quite a simple one, but quite a powerful question. What is the one thing that you'd want to share with a person? So what is that one thing that, it could be one thing that could, they could change, they could start, but what's your one thing that you want to share today?
Well, in relation to photography?
It could be about, I don't really get a follow-up question. So it could be about photography, it could be about life, it could be about life, the universe, whatever you want it to be.
Oh, for me, like, the best things in life are all about experiences and time spent with people, like, absolutely, without fail. So I'm the person that whenever I'm asked, what do you want for your birthday or what do you want for Christmas, my answer always is to hang out. I want to spend time with you. So that's the thing. And I think it's something I'm guilty of not doing sometimes enough, that I, you know, you work hard and you spend all this time, you postpone things that you should be doing to. So, if you're not spending enough time with people that you want to be spending it, then schedule it in, get it in your diary.
I'll take that. I will happily take that. And I think that's an important message for everybody to hear, not just now, but any time of the year, in any circumstances.
Yeah.
Wow. On that note, thank you very much for your time today, Vicky. It's been great talking to you. If people want to connect with you, obviously check you out on social media. Check out Vicky Head Photography, Vicky Head Photos on different platforms. Thank you so much for watching. Cheers, Vicky, for joining us today.
Thanks so much. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Just carry on this conversation. Take care. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.